You are about to listen to the undiluted word of God, taught by Pastor Chidi Eberin Wokocha, Senior Pastor of Kingdom Disciples Assembly. A man known for his strong passion for leadership, growth, and kingdom discipleship. Listen and be impacted.
The love is so much. The Bible says, even while we're yet sinners, even while we're yet in the enemy's camp, even while we're yet rebels, even while we yet denied him, even while we're yet, we didn't even care about him, he died for us. Not just for the Christians, he died for everybody, for the Muslims, for the Hindus, for the unbelievers, for everybody. Praise the Lord. And my prayer is that as you go about every day in life, that this will be what you will hear all the time. You know, I remember while I was going through my crisis in those days, when I pray, I only hear, I love you. And it didn't make sense to me. I said, what kind of love is this? You know, that I'm going through this crisis, you know, and I have prayed and I'm not getting any answer. And whenever I pray, I just hear, I love you. What kind of love? But his love is what? Unconditional. Is eternal. Is in spite of who you are. What you've done. Are you with me? Jesus loves you. I want you to, even if there's another thing you understand today, as you go out today, just take it home. Jesus loves you. You might be going through crisis. People may have abandoned you. It might be as if nobody cares about you. But Jesus knows. He understands. And above all, he loves you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you, O Lord, for dying for us. Father, we thank you, O Lord, for your blood that washes away our sins. Father, this morning we have come before you. We have not come in our own righteousness. For our righteousness, O Lord, before you, is like filthy rags. We will come in the righteousness of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Father, this morning, O Lord, we yield, we submit, we surrender our bodies, our souls, and our spirits. Father, have your way. Father, if there be any way we have sinned against thee, if there be anything that the accuser of the brethren will use to accuse any one of us before you today, that they will ask for mercy. In judgment, let your mercy override judgment. Father, as we go into your word this morning, O Lord, let your word, O Lord, minister to every soul that is here today. Every one of us, that nobody will leave here the same way, that everyone here will receive from you a life-changing word, a word in due season concerning that situation. Father Almighty, O Lord, that at the end of the day, our lives will be transformed. Father, bring myself to you, O Lord. I will not minister on my own understanding, that I will only be a vessel through which you bless your people. At the end of the day, O Lord, everyone here will be blessed, and all glory and honor will be returned unto you. And so shall it be. For in Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. May we be seated. Praise God. We're still looking at divine. Let me see them. We're still looking at divine acceleration. Divine acceleration. And this is the last Sunday we're going to take it. And today we're looking at wings as eagles. Is there anybody here that wants to soar high like an eagle? Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Like we've seen in the previous teachings on acceleration, sometimes in life we meet roadblocks. Sometimes in life we meet challenges. Sometimes in life, you know, don't let the way you drive your car. People are even on reverse. You know, white man put car and put what? Reverse. You know, and they move backwards. Sometimes in the journey of life, in our destiny journey, we'll meet both physical and spiritual roadblocks. Sometimes some people are detained on the spot. Are you with me? for several hours, some people for several years, some people for several months. You know, some people remain there, not just being detained, some are even chained to that spot. Praise the Lord. Until help comes, until deliverance comes. Praise the Lord. So when we say divine acceleration, like I said in the previous teachings, once you mention divine, you have brought the supernatural to it. You're saying God stepping. Praise the Lord. And that means if you say divine acceleration, that means you are going to accelerate at God's own speed. Are you with me? You are accelerating at God's own speed, not your own speed. There are two different things. Praise the Lord. Sometimes people say, oh, divine speed, divine acceleration. That means they want to move from where they are to where they want to be. But when we say divine, it means we're taking it to the realm of the spirit, spiritual, and we're saying, God, we want to move at your own speed. Praise the Lord. And that will mean then also allowing God to take control of your life. So today we're looking at wings as eagles. Praise the Lord. Wings as eagles. And the key text is taken from the book of Isaiah 40:28-31. Isaiah 40:28-31. I will read this, but the entire teaching will be on Isaiah 40. Are you with me? Because, like I've always shared here, I don't like taking scripture in bits. Sometimes you need to read the entire chapter to get the full story of what God is talking about. Isaiah 40:28-31 says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no mind, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You see, here, the word of God made it clear that, yes, in the course of our destiny work, sometimes we are tired. The same way you get tired physically, sometimes you are tired spiritually. Are you with me? How many of my friends are here? You get the point, you don't want to, you can't worship, you can't pray, you can't do anything. At that point, God is saying, wait. Are you with me? He said, even the young men, you know, the youth is, you know, when you show strength, zeal, action, right? Sometimes you lack strength. Things that normally you will have accomplished, it's as if everything, the elements are working against you. But he says, there comes a time you need to move at my own speed. Praise the Lord. You know, it's so interesting. I said, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord. How can I be talking about acceleration and telling me to wait? You need to understand spiritual things. Are you with me? He said, you have to wait. You know, as I was asking God last night, I said, what can be the best description for this? And, you know, Holy Spirit is just a wonderful spirit. He just gave me an example. He said, let's say five people want to travel from here to Abuja, right? By road, which would take like, let's say to Calabar or Bayelsa. No, Calabar, at least I've been to Calabar. Praise the Lord, I've been to Bayelsa too. If you go by road, it's almost like 12 hours, right? 10, 12 hours. So these four people set out. And another person comes to see his father. Say, Father, I want to travel to Cross River State. Give me money to go. He said, my son, wait. The people that are traveling would have gone to the bus stop, got the bus, entered. Daddy, I want to go. My son, wait. Does it make sense? Say, Daddy, if I don't go now, I will arrive Calabar almost the next day. I don't want to travel in night. My son, wait. The people have, you call your friend, where are you? Say, we are at Ore. Daddy, I want to get to Calabar. My son, wait. And the man says he's in a meeting. And you are there angry, getting worked up. Meanwhile, you have an appointment, say you have an interview in Calabar the next day. Are you with me? You send somebody again to meet your daddy. I said, Daddy, time, my son, wait. You call your friends, they say, we don't reach the new. And you're already getting angry. And as you finish, as you are there getting worked up, daddy finishes the meeting, comes and says, oh, my son, come. And he takes you, and there's a jet waiting somewhere. And you walk into the jet, praise the Lord, and it flies you into Calabar on the wings of what? As eagles. And land into Calabar, and your friends are still on their way. So when God says, wait, it then means he has something better. Tell your neighbor, God has a plan. God has a plan for you. Just wait on him. That is where life is. Sometimes we are comparing ourselves with people. We are looking at where our friends are. And you say you are serving God. You have been waiting. What is happening? He said, I'm going to bear you on what? Eagle's wings. By the time I carry you, even those who left before you will become envious of you. Because you are moving at the speed of God. You know, I was telling somebody, I use myself as an example. When I left banking, went into business, a lot of my friends, you know, when my business wasn't moving the way I wanted to move, I thought, everything is gone, right? And here I am, on one spot. But when God wanted to bring me back, he took me where? On an eagle's wing, and took me straight to the top. But when my mates see me, they say, how? I said, I don't know. It's my father that did it. I said, which your father? I said, my father, you have. Because they will think I know somebody, so who knows somebody somewhere. I said, just my father. And I want to encourage somebody here today, as I'm sharing this. It doesn't matter what you've lost to the enemy. It doesn't matter what the problem is. Hold on to the Almighty God. Because he's about to give you a ride. He's about to give you what? A ride. Praise the Lord. When we say eagles, eagles are symbols of beauty, bravery, courage, honor, and determination. When you see the eagle, have you wondered, eagle doesn't flap like other birds? Baka, 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 struggling, struggling, struggling. Have you seen an eagle do like this? Eh? They don't flap. When they want to just fly, they stretch out their wings. Get what I mean? And take a dive and goes with the wind and cruises. Some of us are flapping in life. We are struggling. And God is saying, my son, I want to take you on a ride. Are you with me? Eagles, one thing you know about eagles is that they are very powerful when it comes to vision. An eagle can see something from 5 kilometers from here clearly. It's a very powerful bird. And God is saying, I want to open your eyes to see both physical and spiritual things. Some of us are on the journey of life blindfolded. And because we are blindfolded, we are struggling and flapping our wings, trying to sort it out in our own strength. And in this kind of struggle, when you don't do it at the pace of God, you will think God has abandoned you. Or truly, maybe there's a roadblock and you're trying to go across the roadblock in your strength. Eagles are, they are fearless and very bold. Are you with me? When you see an eagle, you know, 2 days ago, I saw like a documentary where an eagle took a crocodile. Chai. You know what thing that hit me? I said, this eagle, you don't respect people.
Just went, boom, grabbed the crocodile like this, somewhere here, boom, and he was flying. I'm sure some of you have seen eagles carry goats, lamb. How? They don't have any fear. And that is the way God wants us to approach issues in life. Because the moment you are moving at the speed of Jesus, at the speed of God, you don't have to have any fear. Even if they say, oh, 1,000 has fallen on your right hand, 10,000 on the other side, praise the Lord, you will remain standing. You are marching. Why? Because you know the God you serve. Even if they say the economy, has crumbled, you are not afraid because you know the God you serve. You know, I love the saying, some people say, no matter the economy of the jungle, the lion will never eat grass. I love that. No matter how bad the jungle economy is, you can never see lion sit down, now they cut grass. It's not possible. Praise the Lord. You know, eagles are high flyers. And as you learn from the eagle, is that they fly very high. And most times they fly alone. Like we have taught in this series, sometimes some of us are not accelerating because we are in the wrong environment. We are moving with the wrong people. Sometimes you need to step out, spend time with God alone, and be able to fly like an eagle. You know, eagle goes on a higher ground. They don't eat dead, filthy things. If you're going to go on that journey, righteousness is key. Are you with me? You know, when you talk about waiting upon the Lord, you have to also remember the eagle again. I'm not going to give us a program before we go into Isaiah 40. An eagle between the age of 30 to 50, depending on how fast they have grown. You know, at that point, their phalanx, we'll call it claw, their phalanx have grown and curved. So they're not able to grip things again. Their beak have also curved. They're not able to pick food again. You know what the eagle will do? That is where the waiting comes on. The eagle will fly to a very high mountain and get there alone. Nobody. Self-assessment. He knows if he doesn't do something drastic, he's going to die of hunger. Because with the way the fowls are, he cannot catch anything anymore. Are you with me? The way the beak has caught, he can't even eat food very well again. So if he doesn't do that self-assessment and cut off some parts from himself, he will not be able to survive. You know, the word of God says, if your right hand hell makes you to sin, cut it off. Are you with me? It's better to enter heaven with one eye than to enter hell with two eyes. There's a time you need to do some self-assessment. So see what the eagle does. Eagle will fly to a very high mountain. And there he's alone. And he will begin to do self-assessment. He said, this is my beak. I need to remove you. If not, I'm going to die of hunger. He will start hitting the beak on the rock. It's a very painful, bloody period. He will hit the beak. Before then, first of all, his feathers are overgrown. You know what he will do? He will pluck out all the feathers. When you see eagle, eagle is very beautiful, but you don't know what they go through. He will pluck out all the feathers, all of them, because they are overgrown and heavy. He will put them out first. After that, he will now begin to do what? Remove the beak by hitting it on the rock. Pam, 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 pam. Until the beak falls off. A new one will start growing, right? The same thing, the phalanx, keep on hitting the phalanx and until they all fall away. After that, it will remain there alone for a season. A season of what? Growth. A season of restoration. You know, in that waiting period, a new beak will begin to come out gradually. Come out strong. The feathers will begin to grow out again. Are you with me? And then, the phalanx will begin to come out, new ones will come out stronger. Then after the period, when the eagle is fully restored, it will embark on its flight. You can stay on that high mountain, look into the jungle, and you just see the first fruit. Sorry again, I missed something. Why this is happening? Other eagles, at that period. Because when he goes to the top of the mountain to do this, he will let out a cry to tell other eagles, I am alone somewhere to go through this process. And other eagles will hear the sound. They know what it means. It means they will bring him food for you to eat at that moment while he's still alone. So when he has gone through this process and is now fully restored, he now goes out again. He can live another 30, 40 years. Strong, healthy, bouncing back. Sometimes in life we go through challenges. And we may need to get to a point that we need to isolate ourselves and do a self-audit. What have I done that is wrong? What am I not doing right? Is there a time to wait upon God and let me be here what God will tell me? Habakkuk said, I will go to that mountain. I will stand there. I know he will pass by. Let me hear what he will do. What? Tell me on this issue. Sometimes in life, we need to get to that point. But if you look at the Isaiah 40, where we took our reading from, if you start from verse 1, some people say that this is a messianic kind of passage. Isaiah was talking about the second advent of Christ, the full restoration. Some other scholars said, he was talking about, remember Israel had not gone into captivity. So Isaiah was prophesying about captivity and also prophesying after captivity. So some other teachers say Isaiah 40 was basically a chapter after captivity. Are you with me? It's a comforting my people. If you read the entire verse, chapter, he was talking about Israel after captivity. It was as if Israel, had gone into captivity. They lost everything. Their homes burnt. Are you with me? Everything destroyed. Carried away into captivity. Then after 70 years, they will be restored back to their land. And here, Isaiah is saying, yes, they're going to go into captivity, but look at what the Lord is showing me. He is saying, upon your return, I'm going to comfort you. Isaiah 41:2. Sometimes we've been through captivity. Sometimes we have entered a place of roadblock. Things are not moving. But hear what the word of God says in Isaiah 41:2. It says, comfort ye my people, serve your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. I prophesy into the life of somebody that the warfare that you are been engaged in is over in the name of Jesus. And cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished and her iniquity is pardoned. Whatever be the thing that the enemy has used against you to deny the blessings of the Almighty God coming upon you, I decree today in the mighty name of Jesus that those sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus. Remember the story of Joshua the high priest in Zechariah 3. Joshua the high priest was about to be ordained the high priest. Praise the Lord. They brought the crown, and when the crown was about to be put on his head, Satan appeared. I said, Lord, this one is wearing what? A filthy garment. Was Lucifer right? Yes, he was right. Satan was there right. He indeed was wearing a filthy garment. And if you go by the law of Moses, if the high priest wears a face that lives in sin, if he enters that Holy of Holies, what happens? He dies. So Satan was saying, hey Lord, you're the one that made the law, not me. This man you call the high priest is not clean. Are you with me? Zechariah 3, you can read 1-7 for time. Zechariah 3, 1-7. He said, he's not clean. But the Lord said something. He said, the Lord rebuked thee, Satan. He said, I have plucked this one, what? Out of fire. He said, remove the filthy garment. And put upon him the white raiment. I prophesy into the life of somebody here. Every filthy garment that has been hindering you from entering into what God has ordained for you, tonight, this morning, by fire, let it be removed in the name of Jesus. Let it be removed in the name of Jesus. And a white garment, the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, be used to cover you. Praise the Lord. Say, tell her that her iniquity is pardoned. For she had received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. See, God is saying here, is it Judah? I know. For all that you've seen, you have suffered more than. You will reach your breaking point. But I have not forgotten you. And that is why I'm sending you this word ahead. That whatever you are going through, I am aware of it. But a time to favor you has come because your iniquity is pardoned. Your warfare is over. Because when we say about divine acceleration, that means where we are not happy about it. Things are wrong. Are you with me? And God is saying, comfort ye, my people. Tell my people, it's over. Praise the Lord. You know, another thing you see from Isaiah 40, there are things that God will fix before he will take you on that flight. Praise the Lord. You know, so you've been on that situation for a long time. There are things that needs to be fixed. Isaiah 44 says, every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight. And the rough places what? Plain. He's saying you've been in that situation for a long time. Maybe you're in the valley and your friends are on the mountain top. He said the valley will be brought up and made level. Praise the Lord. He said the mountain, if you're on a mountain, isolated, it's as if that mountain is, you know, preventing from crossing over. You know, some people, when their own roadblock is their mountain. Some people's roadblock might be a small log of wood they need to cross. Are you with me? Some people's own roadblock is a mountain. You know, there are some mountains that you can climb. Are you with me? If you watch some terrains, there are mountains that go like this. Go like this. So you can find your way, get to the top, right? There are some mountains that when you see them, hardened rock, it goes straight like this. Boom. You can't even put hand to climb. Are you with me? How are you going to move such mountain? Except the Lord does something. But the Lord says that every mountain shall be made low, right? That means a spiritual dynamite. I don't get it. A spiritual dynamite will be placed on it and the mountain will be blown away. I prophesy into the life of somebody here this morning. Every mountain standing between you and where God wants you to be, I declare right now, let it be blown away in the name of Jesus. Sometimes mountain could be our workplaces. Some mountain could be people that don't want you to move forward. Are you with me? It could be things that try to hinder you. It could be your foundation. Things that say this man cannot cross here. But the Lord is saying that every mountain shall be made low. Every valley will be exalted. Sometimes in life also, we discover that our roads are not what? Straightforward. He says, why are you not having divine acceleration? Because you've been going in circles. Are you with me? So people's journey of life, let's say they're supposed to go here. They enter one road. The road will carry them. They will go like this. They will go like this, 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 crooked, and they come back to the same spot. Are you with me? They are moving, but not moving in the right direction. And God is saying here that every crooked path shall be made what? Straight. Because when it becomes straight, you are able to see the end point, and you walk straight to it. Praise the Lord. I prophesy into the life of somebody here. Every crooked road is made straight in Jesus' name. Some other people said the road is rough. Said the rough places. You are, yes, you see the road. But as you are going there are thorns. There are things that are what? Causing you pain. He said the rough places shall be made what? Plain. Then as I read Isaiah 40, 5 to 28. You know, before we get to mountain of wings as eagles, I want to tell you what has happened. Before God said, look, you're going to mount up wings as eagles and fly with me. In Isaiah 41 to 28 tells us a story. And that's what I'm taking us through. The next thing that you see, you must receive a revelation of who God is. If you're going to say you're going to wait upon God, you're going to mount up wings and eagles, you need to know who he is. Imagine when you tell your father that you're going to Calabar and he say, wait. Some people who don't know their father, if you don't know your father has the capacity to take you to Calabar, at the shorter time, some people have gotten angry and left. Some sons will have said, Daddy, if you don't want to support me, I'm going. And they will have missed their smooth flight to Calabar. Are you with me? So as I studied Isaiah 40, God opened my eyes to say that, yes, I have told him I will comfort them. I'm going to fix the problems that the enemy put in place. I'm going to make things straight for them. But for them to really mount up wings as eagles, they must have a revelation of who I am. What am I capable of doing? Are you with me? It is when you understand what God can do for you that you'll be able to wait. If you don't know the promises of God, if you don't know whether he has the capacity to fulfill his promises, will you be able to wait? So when you read Isaiah 40, 5 to 28, hear me out. The first thing that comes out from there is, first thing, you can go back and study it. But the first thing that he says from there, he says that he is the one that will reward his people. From 5 down, I don't want to break it down. I don't want to read it, sorry. He said, vanity upon vanity. Everything is vanity. He said, look, everything you see around, they will all go one day. Everything that people struggle for, that they will do what? They will disappear. They are like flowers. In the morning time, they are glowing. When the water is no longer there, when things are not comfortable, they just do what? They just die away. Are you with me? But he says, I am the one that will reward you. So if you don't have understanding that it is God who has the capacity to reward you, you will not have the patience to wait on the Lord. Are you with me? You will think you've missed out on what is happening around you. You will think your friends have left you. But when you understand that this God we talk about, silver belongs to him. Gold belongs to him. And he's the one that gives power to do what? Get wealth. The cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to who? Belongs to God. That gold that is buried deep down somewhere belongs to him. When you have this understanding, that will help build up your patience to wait. Praise the Lord. The next thing we learn from him in Isaiah 40:12 is that he's an omnipotent God. He said, can you measure the waters of the earth? Only him can measure. Have you measured the waters of the earth? See, is anybody who has measured the water of Victoria Land? If you can measure the water in that well, the water somewhere, you come, let's talk. But God is saying, can you measure the waters of the earth? I have measured them. Are you with me? He said, can you gather the dust of the earth? Even when you say gather dust, that means you're counting the dust by what? Grains. Please, can somebody go outside and just pack sand and count the grains in the sand? God is saying, if you can count it, then you come, let's talk. But he said, I can do it because I am God. Are you with me? He said, have you been able to weigh mountains and hills on a scale and balance? So we'll bring Kilimanjaro. Bring a piece of my scale. Wait, okay. Kilimanjaro weighs so and so pounds. You bring that hill in your village. Are you with me? Put on a scale. If you don't understand the awesomeness of your God, you'll not be able to believe him. What is God trying to tell Judah? He said, Judah, everything that you are struggling for, just like what we read in Isaiah 6, 30 to 33, all those things that you desire, I have the capacity to provide them to you. I can change your story overnight. If only you would trust me. If only you believe in me and walk according to my principles. If only you put me first in everything that you do on a daily basis. Then you will be able to mount up wings as eagles and do what? And soar like an eagle. But you know the problem that we have? We're looking for the shortcut. Because they told us a lie. Grace covers everything. Even when you're living in sin, don't worry, grace will cover you. Go and commit sin and come back, grace. That's the lie of the devil. They have sold us a lie. You don't need to work hard anymore. Enter church. Just claim it and receive it. Go back to your bed and sleep. Poverty will creep in. You know? Quietly and silently. They won't say that God says, I will bless the works of your hand. Are you with me? We're looking for the shortcut. Praise the Lord. And then now you will see in this story, Isaiah 40, 13 to 14, it says, I am the omniscient God. I am omniscient. He said, I direct the spirit of God. I said, I'm everywhere, anytime. That thing you want to go do tomorrow, God is already there waiting for you. Are you with me? If you understand that God is everywhere, anytime, then what will you be afraid of? Because by the time you arrive tomorrow, yeah, God is there waiting for you. By the time you go back to yesterday, He was there. Today, He's here. You know, the way I like explaining this thing, for me, it's very simple. Today, we are here, right? God is still with us, right? Some people are yesterday. God is there with them, right? Some people are tomorrow. God is there with them. God is everywhere at every time. The devil doesn't have that capacity. So when the devil wants to harass you, just remind him, devil, you're only here with me. But my God is tomorrow waiting for me, so He cannot stop me. Are you with me? He said, I am the fountain of knowledge and understanding and of judgment and equity. I am a just God. You know, you need to study this chapter. Sometimes we just take one verse and run with it. But go through the whole story and understand what God is trying to build up. Another thing we see from verse 15, He said, I am a sovereign God. I rule in the affairs of men. All nations are nothing before me. I can lift up one. Take a beggar. And take him to the palace. And make him what? A king. I can bring a king. And make him what? A beggar. I have the power. I am God. I can change your situation. Until you understand that God is a sovereign God and He rules in the affairs of men, you will not have the patience to wait on Him to mount up wings as eagles. Are you with me? Sometimes you think that, God has abandoned me. Life is too hard for me. It's too unbearable. Some people have committed suicide because they don't believe that God can change their situation. I always tell us, I used to know a friend in those days when I used to live in Sulere. This guy was going through crisis financially. He used to drive one baby boy. And he would come, he would say, help me. You know, we put it together. Okay, I'll do this. He was practically begging to eat to survive. It was as if all doors were closed to him. But one day, he just took a change of government. A new government came. And he knew somebody. God just opened one door. Today, he's a billionaire. I'm not telling you, Fabu. I don't want to mention his name. Praise the Lord. You know, his story just changed. He was telling me, that I was serving because he said he had a policy. When things are opening up, you know, when they want to connect your lines, remember, I said, God is the divine what? Okay, straight on. Somebody in government came into power who had a connection to give him some contracts. Are you with me? But he needed money to execute the contracts. So he was in a plane one day. He said, okay, you'll be flying only business class within local flight. And he sat beside a bank MD and gave his card to the lady. Then he said, you do this. Why don't you come? I like young people like you, so we can encourage you. You know, and that's how he went. And the lady said, you have ABCD from so and so place. I will fund it. His story changed. God connects all the dots of your life. But sometimes we try to use our head to do what? Figure it. You cannot use a finite brain to figure out an infinite God. It's not possible. All you have to do is just to do what? Trust and what? Obey. Praise the Lord. So I'm a sovereign God. He said, all nations are nothing before me. Another thing you see from verse 18 to 28, he said, you cannot compare me to anybody or anything. So who can you read it? You always ask, who can you compare me with? He's like, he's going getting angry. Don't understand who I am. They're even comparing me with idols. Eh? Somebody goes somewhere and one dirty man in the bush gives him one small talisman, put in the pocket. And you come to harass you, a child of God. And you are fearful. God is saying, who are they comparing me with? Idols that have eyes they cannot see. Legs they cannot walk. And you are afraid of them? My people perish for lack of knowledge. Are you with me? God is saying, you cannot compare me to anybody or anything. He said, I bring princes and judges to nothing. Say, I am very strong in power. He said, I don't faint because I'm everlasting. Say, I cannot be weary. Are you with me? He said, there's no stretching of my understanding. Why is God saying all these things? It's to build up your faith to trust Him. He said, look, help comes from no other place but from me. David said, I have looked east, I have looked west, north, south. Where does my help come from? My help comes from where? Above, the Almighty God. Where is God telling us this between verses 18 and 28? Because sometimes we put our trust in men. You want to accelerate, but you're afraid to say, oh, my uncle will help me. My father will help me. My brother will help me. When you put your trust in people, I guarantee you disappointment. Are you with me? But when you put your trust in God, trust me, He will never abandon you. And like I always say, when you say you trust God and you have plan B, you don't trust God. When everything has, I say, God, it is only you that I have. All the time, without fail, God will open up a door miraculously. He will part the Red Sea for you to walk on dry land. Praise the Lord. So from 28 to 30, he says, I am the source of strength and power. He said, I give power to the faint. Are you with me? I give strength to the weak. And therefore, you have to wait on me. So the secret of divine speed or acceleration, the key thing is the ability to wait upon what? Upon the Lord. Remember the stories I've told? The story of the man traveling, waiting for the Father. The story of the eagle, waiting to renew the strength, right? It is the ability to wait upon the Lord. That is where the secret of divine acceleration is. Because you are moving at His own speed. If you say divine acceleration, it means I'm moving at God's own speed, right? So if God is busy, He puts doing something, you have to wait until He's ready for you. If you must go at His own pace, they that wait upon the Lord. The question is, do we have the patience to wait? Patience is a product of faith. He said that was why he spent time trying to tell Judah who he is. All that we have looked at is trying to build up their faith. Say, look, if you're going to be able to wait for me, be patient. You have to understand who I am. If you don't have faith, you will not do what? Be patient. You will not wait. Are you with me? And also, patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Some people, especially believers, you say, Lord, I'm waiting on you. Eh? Maybe that thing that you are going through, God is using it to build up your what? Your faith and your patience. You have to bear that fruit. Because there's a certain level of anointing that you cannot carry until you have that fruit of the Spirit called what? Patience. If not, you'll be like Elisha. Elisha, the boarhead, 52 boys just died. Eh? He could have said, spiritual king, we'll flog them for 5 minutes. They will learn their lesson. But he was angry in the spirit. Foxes came out and did what? Killed those 52 boys. Anointing without control is disaster. No matter how anointed you are, and you don't have patience, you don't have control, only a matter of time you get into trouble. People may die because of you, but you answer. You will do things that you eventually regret at the end of the day. They that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord. Bible tells us to be patient with one another. Some of us, how can you be patient with God? If you are not patient with your neighbor, your brother, your sister, your spouse, are you with me? How can you then wait on God? How can you then wait on God? Do you know that Saul lost his kingship because of a lack of what, patience, impatience? First offense, Samuel was to come and do a sacrifice. Samuel delayed in coming. Are you with me? And because he couldn't wait, he was under pressure to impress the people. He went and offered a sacrifice that was meant for the priest, which he had no power. Sometimes, when we are impatient in life, it's because we want to impress people around us. We want to move at our own pace. And we want people to know that, yes, we have done it. But if you're going to move at divine speed, you're going to move. You have to learn to wait on God. Praise the Lord. Wait upon the Almighty. Say, renew your strength. You see, when you wait, it gives you an opportunity to do what? To renew your strength. It gives you time to reflect on your past mistakes. It gives you time to even hear from God. Do you know some of us go all year, we don't hear from God, but we talk to God? Are you with me? Prayer is not complete until you hear from God. Prayer is a two-way thing. You talk to God and God will do what? Talk with you. But some of us, the moment you just go with a shopping bag to God, God, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this, amen. Boom. They're holding their phone again, chatting away. So even before God will say, angel, this, go and deliver, and I didn't deliver, the guy has gone away. So the blessing will hang. He will come next time again. He's not saying, God, I've not said, God, do this, do this. Before God will say, angel, Gabriel, the guy has gone away again. They are forever talking to God and never get a feedback. In your prayer life, it is important that you get a feedback from the Almighty God. Praise the Lord. So when you get to the point of waiting, it's important to understand, why am I waiting? Yes, I trust this God. He has the capacity to change my situation. You must first of all believe. He has the capacity to turn things around. Some will tell you, oh, you've been believing God for a long time. What has God done for you? Some will say, you've been a Christian for so, so long. Yes, it's what has God done for you. And maybe on the verge of your breakthrough. You know, there was always this picture they show, you know, on the internet. You see somebody who is digging. Digging, you know. And there is gold behind, right? And he has been digging, oh, let's say for 2 years, digging. On the verge of just one more hit, he will strike the oil or the gold. He gets tired and goes away. Another person comes where he stopped. And just the first knock, boom, gold. Somebody toiled because he wasn't patient enough to wait upon the Lord and continue. He missed the opportunity. Praise the Lord. So the next thing is mounting up wings as an eagle. I started asking God, yeah, mounting up wings. So where does this eagle take me? What's he all about? And he took me to Exodus 19, 4 to 6. Exodus 19, 4 to 6. He says, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Wow. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Wow. I said, God, what am I supposed to learn from this? He said, the first thing he told me, he said, well, he said, have you seen what I did to the Egyptians? I said, what does that mean, sir? He says, when I grant a man divine acceleration, I first of all deal with the obstacles and hindrances on his way. Before you enter into your promised land, I will first of all deal with Egyptians who are not willing to allow you to move. And God is saying, anyone who has been hindering you, who have been trying to stop you, it is me that, because I'm thinking about your case now, it is me that is trying to stop. Therefore, I will have to deal with them. I prophesy in the life of somebody here today. Every Egyptian that says you will not enter into the promises of God for your life, the Almighty God will uproot them in the name of Jesus. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. Praise the Lord. And I looked at this and I said, ah, God, when you say how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself, how does this tally? He says, the essence or the purpose of divine acceleration is to bring you back to God. You don't get it? Of what purpose is divine acceleration if you enter here? Are you with me? So when you say, God, I want divine acceleration, is it that he will bless you when the world comes, you will not leave God and enter hell? He said, when I bear a man on eagle's wings, I am taking him on a ride to bring him to my place. So my prayer then should be, God, take me on that path that will bring me back to you. Just like couples, the essence of marriage, God gives you a spouse that will accompany you, help you to make what? Heaven. Two of you are supposed to do what? Help each other. Do what? Make it to heaven. So, divine acceleration on eagle's wings means I am going to bless you to the extent that it will help you to come back to me. That was why David said, any wealth that will make me not to serve you, Lord, don't give to me. So, what is the purpose of divine acceleration? Is it that you spend it on yourself? Is it that you become selfish and use it to abuse people, to show them you've arrived? If that is the purpose of divine acceleration, sorry, you're in the wrong place. You could have called it worldly or world what? Acceleration. But if it's divine, the purpose of divine acceleration is to bring you back to God. Maybe you're here, you've not given your life to Jesus Christ. And you're shouting, divine speed, how? Please remove the divine and say speed. Because the moment you put divine speed, means you have to come to God. Are you with me? Before he will give you the ride. So divine acceleration, the first step is to submit yourself to the Almighty God. So that he can walk through you and use you and bring you back to himself. Praise the Lord. You know, as you read the same Exodus 19:4-6. Praise the Lord. He gives two conditions for divine acceleration. Remember, he says, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Are you with me? 5 now says, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my what? My covenant. Let's stop there. Because after that, you not see the benefits of what? Divine speed. He says, I'm going to bear you on eagle's wings on two conditions. On two conditions. Praise the Lord. One is to obey my voice. Obedience is key. Obedience means you are submitting yourself to God and say, Holy Spirit, lead me. If you are willing and obedient, what did the Bible say? Isaiah 1:18. You eat the good of what? of the land. You want God to prosper you. You want God to take you to the next level. You want God to give you speed so you can move ahead. But you don't want to submit to this God. How? If you are willing and obedient. Say now, therefore, if you will obey my voice, indeed. Huh? Why did the Bible put indeed? Some people pretend to obey God's voice. Are you with me? But in their heart, they may be doing it to show off. Just like my brother said, why are you in church this morning? Are you in church to serve God? Indeed. Are you in church? There are two different things. That indeed is the motive behind it. Come to church. Some people just come to church very late. The workers will say 7:30. You say you are serving God. You are obeying Him. 9 o'clock, you stroll in. Are you with me? You are in church, but you are not in church to see God indeed. You are in church to see God, but not indeed. You won't get that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say, if you obey my voice, indeed, and then keep my covenant. We've taught here several times that the God we serve is a covenant-keeping God, right? And everything that God does is a function of his covenant. So is the devil too. I've taught it here several times, right? The devil operates under covenant too. That's why all those people that do human sacrifice, if they say every year you must do one, you must do it. If the time comes you don't do it, he will cut off your head. There's no mercy in the dictionary. He operates under covenant. Even God himself operates what? Through covenant. Try and check. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jesus Christ, eternal covenant. He's a covenant-keeping God. Whenever you take the communion, you are renewing your what? Your covenant. You are saying, Lord Jesus Christ, I accept your body that was broken for me. Your blood that was shed because of Calvary. You are accepting the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So two conditions. To mount up wings as eagle is to obey God. Indeed. And to operate under covenant. Ask your neighbor, which covenant are you operating? You know, the truth is that some people come to church. That's one that really baffles me. They come to church after service in the evening. They will enter bush to go and see one babalawo somewhere. You might see them in church, but they have a different covenant. It's not everyone that comes to church is operating under the covenant of the Almighty God. Some still have some things on their waist. They tie. I remember one anointing service that we had at some point. A lady, as soon as they approached, the Holy Spirit just took him. You know? And it was so bad, we took him upstairs. And told the lady to just run a hand and find that there were beads all over, amulets. You know, some people come to church. Even though they are here, they are in church, but they are not in church indeed. They have a different purpose. Some have come to scatter the house of God, but they will not succeed because the gate of hell shall not prevail. Some come to bring the men of God and the ministers, but they will not prevail. Are you with me? So what covenant are you operating on? If you're going to mount up with that eagles, are you operating at God's covenant? Because it is Him that will carry you and give you that divine push. Praise the Lord. The four things that you learn from this, when you meet a condition, He says, from that 5, said, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. A peculiar people. When you soar like an eagle, you become a peculiar treasure to the Almighty God. Can somebody open up 1 Peter 2:9? You become special to the Almighty God. When you submit yourself to Him, and you are willing to obey Him indeed, And you're saying, Lord, I am resting upon you to give me that divine push, that divine acceleration. That means you are submitting your will, everything to God. And you're saying, God, here I am, use me. I want to move at your own timing. Then God says, you become special to me. You become the apple of my eyes. It then means whoever that hurts you, is looking for my trouble, and I will deal with the person. Because now you are God's own what? Special child. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God is saying, when you are operating under divine acceleration and you obey me and operate under my covenant, you become special to me. You become a priest. And when you become a priest to the Almighty God, that saying that says, touch not my anointing, will not apply to you. You can't be living in sin, and say, hey, don't talk about me. God said, touch not my anointing. You're wasting your time. It's for covenant children. Are you with me? Who have become peculiar people to God. Go to 10. 1 Peter 2:10 now. He said, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. God is saying, the moment you yield to me, the moment you are willing to operate on my covenant, the moment you obey me indeed, you become peculiar, special to me. You become a priest to me. He said, even if in time past they defined you by A, B, C, D, because you have not come to me, your story will change. If people were seeing you where you stop at the bus stop, where the enemy put the roadblock, but because I have come to bear you on eagle's wings, your story will change. But you have to trust me. That is what God is saying here. So if you want to move on God's eagle's wings, or wings as an eagle, praise the Lord, then we have to get to the point that we have to submit. It's easier to say, God, change my story. God, I want to live where I am. But you don't want to leave what you are doing. That's why he says that, which in time past, we are not a people. In time past, you've made mistakes. In time past, people have defined you by your mistakes. Are you with me? But he's saying that the moment you come to me, everything changes. He said, because now you become a people of what? Of God. And because you have become my people, he said, you can now obtain what? Mercy. Which before did not have what? Mercy. So I want to encourage everybody here today. Maybe where you are not happy with it. You have been in that situation for a long time. You have asked questions. You have cried. You know, we've taught this for the last 1 month. Sometimes it could be changing of your location. Most times it is submitting to God. Most times it is operating from the covenant. Other times, it is submitting to the leadership, guidance, protection of the Holy Spirit. But you cannot be living in sin and say you want divine speed and divine acceleration. No, you cannot walk. Because God has laid down the principles. He said, yes, Judah, you are in captivity, but I've come to comfort you. Your iniquity is forgiven. Your warfare is over. I am the Almighty God, omnipotent, omniscient, all powerful, all knowing, everywhere. Are you with me? I have the capacity to change your situation. I have the capacity to turn things around. I am the divine orchestrator. I can order your steps between now and the next few months. And people that used to look down on you begin to look up to you. Because I am the Almighty God. But you need to get to the point where you must submit and wait upon me. A place that you break, that you have a contrite heart, you are broken and you submit. A place of patience and faith. A place you look upon me with divine expectation, a place of trust. Like Esther will say, even if I perish, I perish. Oh, you're waiting on God. People are laughing at you. Say, these are Christianity things. It's not too. You know, the devil is wicked. The devil is wicked. Somebody told somebody, say, you're waiting on God. Eh? You won't get married. Or if you can't get married, just can get a man and get pregnant. Madness. And I said, because they have mocked you, God is going to step in and turn things around. Don't allow anybody to put you down. That's what God tried to say. God tried to explain. He said, don't you know the God you serve? I can weigh a mountain on a scale. You know what that means? I can turn things around. I can flip a mountain like this. All you have to just say, earthquake, hit that place. The mountain will just boom, 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 boom. Just go. Because they all work for him. I prophesy into the life of somebody here. You have been in that situation for a long time. You have cried, you have wept. But God has remembered your case. And he says, I am going to turn things around. I'm going to turn it that even when you look back, it will be like history. I'm going to take you to a level that you never dreamt of. I'm going to make your flight so smooth that when you arrive, people ask you, did you sleep over in this town? As if you've been there all year. That will be your story. You know, I remember one time I traveled. In those days, I used to be very, very naughty driving. We left Lagos around 7 a.m. and drove. I entered Omaya around 1 o'clock. You know what that means? From Lagos. And my father said, did you sleep over in nowhere? I just came back. I didn't know how to tell him that. I drove from Lagos that morning. Because you arrive clean. People say, it's not possible. Divine speed. Praise the Lord. Divine speed. He said, no, you mean you slept nowhere. The man couldn't comprehend it, even me. Somebody is going on a ride with the Almighty God. Before the end of this year, you will come here to testify of the goodness of the Almighty God. He will turn around your situation. He will take you to a place you never dreamt of. You will soar high like an eagle. And even those who have started before you, you will overtake them and they will look up to you. This will be your story. For in Jesus' mighty name I decree. Let us bow down our heads. God is talking to somebody here. You are not in church this morning by accident. We are rounding up this topic on divine acceleration. And I know God has already started working in the life of people. A brother testified of two jobs coming at the same time. He called me that night and said, Pastor, you don't get it. I've been looking for a job for a long time and two jobs appeared now. I'm confused on the one to choose. I said, praise the Lord. That's the kind of prayer we have been praying for. The Almighty God is going to change your situation around. But he's saying, if only you will obey me indeed and enter into covenant with me. If only you will be a covenant child to give me the enablement to take you where you ought to be, I will change your story. And like we've been talking about divine acceleration and speed, once you bring divine, you bring God into the equation. That is why he says, 1,000 will chase, one person will chase 1,000, 2, 10,000. Why? Because God is in the equation. You are here this morning, you've heard this sermon. You know you are not serving this God indeed. Yes, you are in church, but you don't have a relationship with him indeed. Or maybe you had a relationship with him, but no more. God is saying, my son, my daughter, I want to change your story. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, all things are passed away. He said, now you have the capacity to become a priest unto me. You that was in darkness, you will come into the marvelous light. You that had no mercy before, you will obtain mercy. And God is saying, my son, my daughter, I want to take you on a ride. I want to take you on a ride. Is there anyone here this morning that wants to give their life to Christ. I want to say, Lord, I accept the finished work. I accept your death and resurrection. The blood that was shed for me. I want to make a new covenant with you. I want to enter into the covenant of life. Is there anybody here this morning? If there is anyone, just wave your hand and we'll pray with you. God is calling you this morning. God is calling you this morning. This is not a time to resist. Just lift your hands. You want to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and change my story. If right now the enemy is telling you don't, that means he wants to keep you in that level where you are. But you have the capacity to change your story by taking a firm decision. It's not how long you've been in church. Do you know him indeed? If you don't know him, and you wish and you desire to know him, just lift your hand.
Thank you for listening. We believe you have been blessed. For more information, kindly fellowship with us on Wednesdays by 6:30 p.m. for our midweek services and Sundays by 9 a.m. for our family services at number 209 Muriokola Street, Victoria Island, Lagos. Or visit us on Facebook at Kingdom Disciples Assembly.